KLOS and KLOS HD1, Los Angeles. This is The Rock of Southern California. Now, shining a light on the people, organizations, and events that bring Southern Californians together. This is Spotlight on the Community with your host, Terry Ray Elmer.
On March 26th, award-winning rock stars and classical musicians combine as members of the Palos Verdes community and parents of school kids in a non-traditional session to benefit the Palos Verdes Peninsula Public Schools. This is at the Norris Theater and Pavilion in Rolling Hills Estates. With us this morning, Martin Anderson, who plays with Lizzie Borden and George Lynch, Dr. Don Austin, who is the superintendent of schools for the Palos Verdes Unified School District, and Yu Tong, the world-renowned Chinese classical violinist. Martin, how did this whole thing start?
Oh, hi there. It's good to be here.
Thank you.
I talked to the principal of my school. I dropped my kids off one day, and I found out that a lot of programs in the schools are actually being funded by parents. Mm-hmm. So I'm going, music, RP. So that sort of programs. And I go, really? And she said, I start thinking about the idea of maybe we should do a concert as sort of a fundraiser. And I go, what do I do best? And we start talking about, we have a little walking club. We drop off our kids and we do a little walking club around the area.
Aww.
We do 3 or 4 miles and get some exercise. And turns out that some of these people, buddies in the walking club, are all great musicians, famous.
And you didn't know it?
Well, initially we didn't really know, and then we start, talking, and they said, hey, we should do a concert, and then we start throwing around the idea, and then we start bringing in all these people, and here we are with world-renowned rock stars and platinum artists, and now we've got an amazing show, and we're here on KLOS talking about it.
How did you hook up with Yu Tong?
She's part of the walking club. That's what we call it now. It's a see what community get together, what we can do. But no, it's just all these different people start coming together, and I start reaching out to parents and the school system. And then this is not only for the PV area, obviously. It's for the whole South Bay. And, we can talk a little bit about the funding. And we've got Dr. Austin here who can fill in a little bit about where the funding is going to each profits.
Who had the idea to join the rock musicians and the classical musicians in a concert like this? You?
I think I would have to take credit for that part. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just thought we would start talking and hey, we should do something together. And that's how it got started, really. So it's just a small little idea based on a conversation with the principal. And then here we are.
And Dr. Austin, when did you pick up the ball?
Well, I had one of our parents, a parent I know well, who's one of our PTA leaders, gave me a phone call and said, I have an idea for a concert. We have some local artists.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be interested in meeting with them? And so I have in my mind what I think of with a local artist. And they walk in with names like Martin and Robert DeLeo and Chester Bennington. And I was like, wow.
Knew these people?
Oh, I knew them instantly as soon as I started seeing the names. What I didn't know is that they lived in our community and that we had their kids. So that was really exciting to see mm-hmm. the names that came out right out of the chute.
Yeah. So then what did you do?
Well, I tried to control my excitement. First thing I had to do is choke it back just a little bit. I'm a fan of these guys. But instantly we saw that we had something special, something very different. So we started putting this thing together and set some parameters, identified where the money would go, and really tried to tell them the story about how funding in California impacts school districts, even school districts in areas where you might not think funding
exactly.
is an issue.
Exactly.
So in our particular case, you think Palos Verdes, pretty amazing place, but we're also the second lowest funded school district in LA County, and California is one of the lowest in the entire nation. So we are literally one of the lowest funded school districts in the entire nation.
And so, and especially the arts and music, PE, things like that. So it's great you've got musicians.
Yes. Well, and one of the things that the musicians told me early on is that they didn't want the money to go solely to music.
Oh, that's good.
That they had a broader scope and mm-hmm. and wanted to support the greater good for all of our students.
That's fantastic.
Well, I think we need to sort of plug the holes where they're needed, and that was my thinking at least, and I think Utah's too, is let's just take a good look and see where it's needed. And you're right, obviously music, art, PE, and it's funny, though, because a lot of people, I talk to some parents and they go, PE, oh my God, so everybody have different points of what they think is important, which is interesting. Obviously me being a musician, of course, my thoughts went right away to music and art, And PE was like, okay, well, we can do that after school or something. But, you know, a lot of people, that's important too. So it's, let's just try to plug the holes where needed. So.
And Yutong, what did you think?
First, let me thank you for having us.
You're
on
so
air.
Welcome.
You know, for me, I just think our kids really need a lot broader education. So, of course, I would love to have. I think music is so important in our lives. It doesn't matter what you like. You can like classical, or you're a fan of jazz, or you can be a fan of rock and roll. But it's, music is such a huge part in our life. And, of course, you know, for me, it will be important for the children to mm-hmm. grow up, to have the opportunity to give the education, you know, give them an opportunity to learn. But in the same time, you know, I think we, Martin and I were just talking with Dr. Austin at the end to say, you know what, they not only need a music education, they need all sorts of help, because mm-hmm. it was such a limited funding. So we were just going to give the money to the Peninsula Education Foundation and then see what they really need. You know, they maybe this year they really need a STEM program, and then the money will go there. Or maybe next year they, you know, they see they really need a PE. We have, like, you know, support program for the PE teachers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whatever they need, and we're just here to help.
What was your first thought when they pitched you to hook up with the rock and roll groups?
You know, this is a funny thing. I take my daughter to school every morning. We walk. And I see this long-haired dude.
Would that be you?
Yeah. I'll be guilty on that one.
And he's walking, and I told my husband, I said, oh, I think he's probably a musician of some sort in rock and roll. So we went up to him, introduced ourselves, and then, you know, it turns out he's a bass player. You know, so then we...
My mother always told me to stay away from bass players.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or
the quiet ones and the ones you need.
Look what we got. Yeah, so then, you know, afterwards, we just say, you know, we take a walk afterwards, just get a little exercise. It's good, and the air is fresh. You know? Mm-hmm. So then when he said, you know, we should play a concert together, and then I played with many rock bands at the Hollywood Bowl.
Really?
So, yes.
She got a great story on how she got kissed by Steven Tyler at
Seriously?
The Hollywood Bowl. Yeah. See, this is the stuff they want to hear. Yeah, yeah.
Who hasn't been kissed by Steven Tyler?
No, there is that.
Yeah. No, but
okay, now you got to spill the Steven Tyler
story.
Tyler story.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, it was in the Hall of Fame concert.
I was at that concert.
Oh my gosh!
She played that one, yeah.
Yes, I was a bowl orchestra, and then when he sang the "Walk This Way,"
yes,
there's a phrase that's, you know, because
yes,
so here I am just still playing. All of a sudden, he come over a big smack on the stage. Yeah, you know, I can't live this up.
Oh no, that's a great story. I mean, you know, you might be blushing about it.
So you introduced yourself to Martin and said, you know, I got kissed by Steven Tyler once.
No.
That's all you need to say. I'm like, all right, we're doing this, something, you know. But.
So how is this going to work, this concert?
Well,
have to come and see it, right?
Exactly. It's going to be an amazing program, because I think it is, because this is such a unique concert, is from classical, because we're classical musicians, mm-hmm. but we love music of all sorts. So we can come together, but we're going to make the program so for all music lovers.
Mm-hmm.
So it will start out with classical, and then it's going to get louder and louder and louder and louder.
And they will by the end, we'll have a big blowout, and then, you know, classical musicians will be with the rock bands, and it's going to be great. So.
Now, who else is going to be there, Martin?
Well, we got a big list. Obviously, we got one of the biggest bands in the world, Stone Temple Pilots. They're,
wow.
You know, the big headliners. I mean, and Mr. Chester Bennington from Linkin Park, obviously, great band. I mean, it's one of the biggest bands in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having these people at a small theater. I mean, they play for, you know, 40 combined,
right.
You know, 40,000 people. We got them in an intimate venue at 400 people. How would you not want to see that? I mean, I want to see it. You can see my excitement. I'm like, come on, let's do this. But so we made some calls. I made some friends over the years. So I made some calls. We called Monty, which is Madonna's guitar player.
May I join in just for that
yes.
one? And I'm so thrilled to be able to play with him, because he and I were going to do a classical piece. instead of, because, you know, he's rock and roll
right.
through and through. But he's joined me for a very special piece. So,
it's going to be great. Yeah, so it's going to be in and out. You know, we'll join some initially. Some people come in and do a little part with the classical, and then we'll combine it all at the end. So, I made some calls, and we got Chas West on vocals coming down doing some stuff. He was in Foreigner for a little bit and a bunch of other bands, and Lauren Mayhew, which is a great singer, and Gary Wright, who got on there, which sang the song Dreamweaver.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
So I was going to sing it right now, but it's early in the morning, so I'm not going to do that.
Excuses.
Maybe Dr. Austin want to take tone here.
I'm saving it for the 26th.
Okay, all right.
I only sing for pay.
Never give it away for free.
Don't go in my business then.
So it's called From Classic to Rock, and where does the Select Strings Foundation come in to play here?
Well, they're the organization that's actually putting on the event that's
okay.
going through. So it's a nonprofit organization, and mm-hmm. that's where the funding goes. And the Select Strings working very closely with the PEF and to make sure everything is done properly. And that's sort of how they're coming in. But I don't know if you want to talk a little bit more about it, but I don't. There's much more to say other than great organization putting it on together with us. And,
And Dr. Austin, what are you going to do with the money?
Well. The beauty of the Peninsula Education Foundation, which is where the money's going to end up, is that that foundation makes donations to the district in the ballpark of $3.5 million a year.
Wow.
And in our district, the combination of Ed Foundation and a self-imposed tax that our community puts on themselves for schools accounts for about 10% of our total budget.
Wow.
So without that, we would be at counselor ratios at over 1,000 to 1, but with the funding, we're 1/3 of that, so we're 300 to 1, which that starts to become a value added model. We are definitely using some of the money to bolster our strings program, our music programs, especially at the elementary school level. As we talked about PE instruction, which we think is really important for kids to get a healthy lifestyle. And then we're a big STEM district, so STEM is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. This will support something that's a difference maker. And like we've said, a public education is free, but a world-class education is not. And mm-hmm. we're trying to bridge that gap, and it's only with people like this that helps us to provide the kind of experience that everyone wants for their kids.
There's a silent auction, too?
Yes.
There will be a silent auction. Yeah. We've got some great if I may just add something, this would not have been possible if it wasn't for people like Dr. Austin and also KLOS, which is an amazing sponsor. It's coming in and just helping the community. And also BMW
yes.
North America has been coming in, being a sponsor. So it would not have been possible. I really want to just give a shout out to you and to BMW and everybody for being part of it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Thank you. And what about tickets?
Silent auction?
Everything.
What we're doing is we're doing the concert, and then we're doing a red carpet event with mm-hmm. all the artists after. So any tickets that you want to get is from, you can go to the website, which is fromclassictorock.com.
Okay.
Fromclassictorock.com. And you can get tickets for the after party. It's all included in the ticket price, and it all goes, the proceeds go to the PEF, obviously. So I don't know. Did I miss anything?
When you buy the ticket, it will be for both concert and after party.
Got it.
So it's all included. And then we have some amazing instruments on auction.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. Those you have to ask Martin because he would know.
Yeah, what do you got, Martin?
No, I mean, we're still getting items, but we got a signed guitar from Paul Stanley from Kiss.
Whoa!
We got a signed guitar from Robbie from The Doors.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we got? We got a guitar.
You're calling in favors, aren't you?
Yeah, we're calling. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Robert DeLeo. We got a guitar from Slash from Guns N' Roses. And Peter Frampton sent a bunch of stuff, which is amazing. I saw the package yesterday signed. Frampton Comes Alive, LP from Peter directly, and
wow.
all kinds of picks and cool stuff. And then we got the normal type resort. Mm-hmm. Auctions and everything, and we got some great photography stuff from famous photographers, signed pictures, and I mean, it's just going to be really, really cool stuff.
Sounds good. From classictorock.com, get your tickets now. Thank you so much.
And also, I might add, if you mention KLOS, you get 10% off. Yes.
How about that?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That was great. Martin Anderson, Dr. Don Austin, and Yu Tong. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Earlier this week on McIntyre in the Morning with Terry Ray Elmer, we spoke to the L.A. County Deputy District Attorney, David Berger.
Killings in Los Angeles have surged 27.5%, and we're only in the first couple months of 2016. 27.5%. We're almost up a third. Again, I understand we don't do fractions well from the last hour. But it's a huge spike in murders in the city of Los Angeles. The jump in homicides, along with double-digit increases in aggravated assault and robberies, contributed to a 12.7% rise in violent offenses, according to new data that has come out. Joining us right now to talk about this is the L.A. County Deputy District Attorney, and, of course, he's also a candidate for a judge here in L.A. County. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show David Berger. David, good morning.
Good morning, Doug, and good morning, T-Ray. And, of course, my usual disclaimer, anything I say this morning is purely my personal opinion, does not reflect the opinions or views of the L.A. County District Attorney's Office.
Fair enough. With that said, this is a deeply disturbing trend. This isn't just a blip. This is a gigantic spike in homicide and violent crime overall. And, you know, we've covered, you know, the realignment, Prop 47, AB 109. And for some reason, the political establishment of the state is invested in telling us over and over and over again that this isn't contributing. This isn't the reason why we're seeing this. Well, if it's not, then what the hell is?
Well, you know, it reminds me of that famous line from Casablanca. You know, I'm shocked. It's so obvious what has happened in the last couple of years since we've had these budget-saving measures, and that's what they are, Doug. Let's make no bones about it. Whichever way you try and dress this thing up, this is all about saving money. The state, that is to say Sacramento, is shifting the burden from their budget to the budgets of local counties and forcing them to deal with the problem, but of course they're not funding it. So what inevitably happens, we have more people who are released from prison early before they're serving their sentences. We have people now who cannot be sent to prison for crimes that previously resulted in prison sentences. And so there's a large population of criminals in the community, violent criminals. And yes, crime is up. And nobody wants to address a couple of the really ugly truths about this. One is, of course, well, you have a prison overcrowding population. There are two ways you deal with it. One is the Jerry Brown preferred route, which is to dump the prisoners on the community and it's your problem. And the other one is to do what California had been doing historically, and that is building prisons. We haven't opened a new prison since 2005. What has happened to our population since 2005? That's about 11 years ago now. Has there been any increase in our population? Of course there has, but has any adjustment been made to take account of the fact that as population increases, so too does the crime? I mean, it's just a sheer function of numbers. We don't live in a utopian society where people decide they're not going to commit crime. And we're just ignoring this fact, and Brown would rather spend money on high-speed rail than keeping the community safe.
And this has been going on, though, really for generations, that we're not building a prison space to accommodate the rise in population. We point out the population of California is larger than the entire nation of Canada.
Right.
This is a very, very big place. And as that function of demographics of just raw numbers, as you point out, the other issue is that because we didn't build adequate prison space, the California prison system has been under judicial edict to reduce overcrowding. So the way that they chose to do it, rather than lead the push to build more prison space, what they simply did was empty the jails. That's what they did. I mean, that way they're in compliance with the court order, but it's made the neighborhood safer. And it's a false economy, David, because when all these crimes get committed, with this rise in crime, then up goes not only the damage to society, but then you've got all the cost of policing, of the courts, of reincarceration.
Right, and you know, that's actually a little bit of a little bit misleading too, because Governor Brown's latest proposal, which will be on the ballot in November, I'm very, very confident he will manage to navigate the legal obstacle at the moment, which is up at the Supreme Court, and he'll get his latest bill on the ballot in November. I'm sure it'll have a nice, warm and cuddly title, you know, like the Safe Neighborhoods and Schools Act, which was Prop 47. This one is a real stinker. This one strips away the sentencing power of judges. We've, for the past 40 years, had a sentencing program which judges impose the sentence. It is mandatory. The minimum amount of time to be served is based on the actual crime committed, plus any enhancements. In other words, you take a regular guy who commits a robbery, I know it's a rare event, the most he can get is 5 years. But if he's committed a robbery before, then that 5 years becomes 10. And it's not only that, if he commits a crime and he's using and he has a gun in his hand, it adds another 10 to that sentence. So 20 years in total for a guy who's previously committed a robbery, commits a new robbery, and he uses a gun. Now what's going to happen under Brown's bill is that after that inmate has served 5 years of his 20, the parole board can consider whether he is suitable for parole. And who do you think appoints the parole board? Who has influence over that? Well, of course, it's our governor. And therefore, you're going to see a lot of people who have committed these violent crimes getting out way earlier than they were ever supposed to, and completely destroying the system that we had because it adds too much to the prison population. Bottom line here, Doug, is we have to face the fact we have a prison overcrowding problem. You can deal with it in a couple of ways. One is you make a genuine effort to reduce the number of people who feel they have to commit crime. You know, that's a problem that even Jerry Brown doesn't have a solution for. And the other one is you just empty the jails. So what are we going to call this, the free felons from prison bill? That'll be on the ballot in November. Somehow I don't think so.
Well, one of the ballot initiatives that I believe we desperately need is one that prohibits people from putting titles on ballot initiatives.
Well, you know, and this one is even more cynical because what happened is Brown basically hijacked a bill that was supposed to introduce some reforms for the juvenile system. And he decided at the last minute to tack on this stinker of an idea to allow for parole after serving the very minimum amount of sentence. And that's the dispute that's up in front of the Supreme Court. There was a challenge. The only people who had the guts to challenge it was the California District Attorneys Association. They did a study, and they had evidence to show that this was a radical change to the bill, so you couldn't just tinker with it. You had to go back and start the whole process again. And Governor Brown managed to get a judge to the Supreme Court to put a stay on the ban, because we'd actually won, and a judge had said, no, you can't do this, Governor Brown. And now the Supreme Court said, well, while we consider it, you can carry on getting your signatures. And let's see what the Supreme Court decides when they consider the bill in whole. And, oh, by the way, did you know that there are three new justices on the Supreme Court who were appointed by fill-in-the-blank?
Yeah, of course.
Jerry Brown.
David Berger, of course, candidate for the judiciary in L.A. County and, of course, an L.A. County deputy district attorney speaking on his own behalf. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, as always. And that number is chilling, a 27.5% spike in homicide in L.A. just since the first of this year. So that's the wrong trend.
You're listening to Spotlight on the Community with Terry Ray Elmer on 95.5 KLOS.
On the next Heidi and Frank Show.
It's Cheerleader Week on the Heidi and Frank Show. We are talking to the cheerleaders from the Los Angeles Rams about the upcoming tryouts. And the LA Clippers Dance Squad has their own reality show. On Monday, we're drinking beer. It's a brand new part of the show called Untapped. And Danny Mathers comes back with Under the Covers with Danny Mathers. But it doesn't stop there. On Tuesday, Josh McDermott from The Walking Dead is stopping by. On Wednesday, Danny Trejo gives us his celebrity playlist. And on Thursday, David Draymond from Disturbed joins the Rock Climb. And it's St. Patrick's Day. And don't forget, all week, your chance to win $1,000 on the 20s.
The Heidi and Frank Show.
Now with Lisa May.
Weekday mornings, 5:30 to 10 on the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
Oh, we told you we're changing things up at McDonald's. You can finally get breakfast all day. Burgers you can customize the way you want. Order for Max.
Thanks.
Enjoy. Not a believer yet, huh? Well, hang tight. We got something else that might surprise you. Breakfast bowls. Boom. They're loaded with egg white, turkey sausage, kale, and spinach. Or try a scrambled egg and chorizo bowl. Each for just $4.39.
Hey, I'll have a breakfast bowl.
Yeah, you will. We're changing things up. So come, see for yourself. Price and participation may vary. Breakfast bowls served during breakfast hours only.
For the best deals and the best styles of the season, get to Lumber Liquidators Spring Flooring Sale. All in-stock North American and European laminate is 10 to 20% off. Get popular styles from just 39 cents. Plus, get up to $2 a square foot off 3/4-inch solid pre-finished hardwood and pre-finished engineered hardwood from 99 cents. Get 20% off wood look tile, and all in-stock vinyl plank is on sale. Plus, deals on bamboo from $169 and 18-month special financing. The best flooring deals end Tuesday, so visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 1919 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 1919.
Orchard Supply Hardware, the home improvement store right in your neighborhood. You'll always find weekly specials, helpful service, and quality products for your paint, home repair, and backyard projects arranged in an easy-to-shop layout. Find a store near you at osh.com.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean, without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 3535 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 3535.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
Your car and boat insurance bundle with Progressive. Impressive discounts. Mount fat stacks of Benjamins. Remember when things weren't so simple then? Such a pain. Now you're gobbling up savings like chicken chow mein.
Bundle your boat and car insurance and save with Progressive. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Control, do you like mortgages?
Negative.
Over.
Do you like rockets?
Affirmative.
Over.
Do you like rocket mortgages?
I'm listening.
Over.
Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that turns the entire mortgage process into a fast, powerful, completely online experience.
Copy that, QL1. I'm going to go ahead and push this button in.
3, 2, 1. Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button, get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 33.
Wow. Very cool. That's awesome.
Nice. When you read the reviews of Epson's revolutionary new, totally cartridge-free EcoTank printer, you'll see phrases like flawless, excellent, and the new standard. That's because it prints up to 8,000 pages without you ever having to change a cartridge. It comes with so much ink, you could print for years.
Love this printer.
See EcoTank at Staples, Best Buy, and Office Depot Office Max. Epson.com/EcoTank.
Chef Jamie Gwen here. At Hoffi, making delicious is what they do. Family-owned for over 85 years, Hoffi Original Recipe Beef Franks are made with the highest quality 100% beef. From bacon-wrapped hot dogs to old-fashioned natural casing franks, only Hoffi makes the hot dogs that are so irresistible that condiments crave them. And oh, I'm craving a Hoffi hot dog right now. Stock up on Hoffi hot dogs at Smart and Final and find recipes and ideas for dinner tonight at HoffiBrand.com.
Don't miss your one chance to see NASCAR live this year at the Auto Club 400, March 18th through March 20th. Go to 95.5KLOS.com and register to win tickets. For tickets, call 800-944-RACE or visit AutoClubSpeedway.com, keyword speed.
95.5KLOS.
Spotlight on the Community now resumes with Terry Ray Elmer.
Second week of July, the L.A. City Council goes on recess. That's maybe bad news for some people, but not for a bunch of kids from Council Districts 8, 9, 10, and 15, because they're going to camp. Joining us this morning is Kimani Black. He is with Councilman Herb Wesson's office. Tell me more about Camp Wesson.
Well, it's a camp that we've been doing for 9 years now. It'll be our 10th year coming up this summer. And it all came from a council member's experience as a child. He was going to attend camp, and when he arrived, they didn't
have... Herb Wesson we're talking about.
Herb Wesson, Council President Herb Wesson, as a child, was going to camp, and when he got there, they didn't have space for him.
No!
Yes. He tells us it broke his heart, and when we first got in office, he said, you know what, I want to do a camping trip. I want to expose our young people to things that I wasn't able to experience until I was older. So we got with an organization named Community Build, Inc., and we started working throughout our district, Council's District 8, 9, and 10, 15, as you said, to bring kids on a camping experience free of charge. A lot of the kids have yet to be away from their moms or their dads.
Wow.
Some of them come from single-family homes. So we were able to create this and give them the opportunity to go camping for free. We hold it three days and two nights at Hanson Dam in the valley. LAPD, CHP comes out and gives us police escorts on the morning of from our office to the camp. It's very interesting to see their faces like, why aren't we stopping? Why aren't we stopping? Because the police are giving us an escort.
Well, and that's a good thing for the kids to know that the police aren't bad guys.
Oh, yes.
That's a huge thing.
It's very good, especially in this day and age, to understand that these are people from our community and we should look up to them.
And they're here to help you.
Yes.
Tell us about the camp.
Traditionally, we try to keep things free-flowing, but we do have structured activities. They are afforded the opportunity to go horseback riding. To see a six-year-old child get on a horse for the first time and to hear the horse's gestures and the noises, it's kind of eerie to them. But after a while, they get accustomed to it, and after an hour-long ride, they want to go back again.
Mm-hmm. And what are the other activities?
We go swimming in Hanson Dam's recreational lake. It's 1.5 acres. And they are able to go there. They do kayaking, paddle boarding, rock climbing. And then we have a partnership with the Bureau of Land Management, who actually comes out at nighttime and shows them how to look at the different constellations and the stars. We now have the Discovery Cube out at Hanson Dam, so they're able to experience that as well. We have archery, and they have arts and crafts. Now, the arts and crafts is very interesting because they all do tie-dyeing. Everybody has the same supplies, but everybody's shirt is different. Like people, we all have the same skill sets, we have all the same ingredients, but we're all different and unique in our own individual way.
And you talked, before we started, you talked about another issue about clothing is they all wear the same thing.
Correct. Kids traditionally like to talk the dozens on each other's clothes, and the way we alleviate that is we put everybody in a uniform for 3 days and two nights. So no one can talk about what kind of shirt you have on. You have on the same shirt that he has on or she has on.
And council staff works with the camp?
Yes. The council president encourages all staff to attend.
Encourages.
He and his wife attend, and they stay all three days and two nights like everyone else. And everyone gets a camp name. So the council president's name is Chief, and his wife's name I won't disclose because she doesn't like it, but... Fabian Wesson is there, and she keeps all of us in line.
How do you find the kids?
We find the kids by working with Community Build, who's actually out in the community working in different schools throughout South L.A., the Mid-City area, the West Adams area, to see who's not doing so well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe financially, maybe in school, and they may just need this little oomph or this push to give them the encouragement to do a lot better. We have kids that have started with us at 8 years old that are now in high school calling our office for letters of recommendation for college. So it's fulfilling our effort.
Have you seen some kids in particular that you remember that have really blossomed?
Oh, yes. There's a young man by the name of Reese who came with us our first camping trip. And I saw him, I want to say, last week. And he has a 3.8 GPA, and he's actually going to apply to USC. So we're going to knock on wood for that.
What is the goal of the camp?
The goal is twofold. It's one, to give our children the opportunity to experience something that they weren't able to experience before. And then the other fold of it is to give the parent a respite. a lot of our parents of these children are working class people who are either at work or dealing with their kids. So by them being able to get rid of their kids and
get
take
rid
a deep
of their
breath.
Kids.
I mean, that's what it is.
I know.
To take a deep breath and just enjoy themselves. So when they come back from camp, the child is able to tell them what a great experience they had. And then on the same note, it gives the child an opportunity to grow and be away from mom and dad for a little while. So they're not culture shock. So they understand that you're going to deal with adversity, but you have to work through it and talk to people and deal with it.
What do you need?
We can always use more resources, but we're all right. We're okay.
Volunteers?
Yeah, we can always use volunteers. If anyone's interested, they can call our office at 323-733-8233. And just give us your contact information, and I'll follow up.
And also, if you wanted to talk about bringing a kid, if there's a child that you know.
They can call that same number.
Okay, thank you so much. Kimani Black, Councilmember Herb Wesson's office.
Earlier this week on McIntyre in the Morning with Terry Ray Elmer, we spoke to the L.A. County Sheriff Jim McDonald.
Big piece in the L.A. Times talks about the problems, the multitude of problems that resulted in, of course, criminal indictments against Paul Tanaka and Lee Baca, and a revolution in the L.A. County Sheriff's Office with the election of Jim McDonald as the L.A. County Sheriff, really on a reform platform. And parts of the reforms are how difficult it is to actually terminate sheriff's deputies when they have done wrong because the Civil Service Commission reinstates people. Talk to us about this right now is the man himself, L.A. County Sheriff Jim McDonald. Good morning, Sheriff. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Doug. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on with us. We appreciate it. And by the way, I have to say up front, 95% of the time, let me revise that, 99% of the time, when there's a problem in various departments in government, you can't get anybody to talk about it who's actually in charge. You are a notable exception. And it's deeply appreciated because this isn't a pretty story. And I know that you're not happy to do it, but it must be done because the integrity of the sheriff's department is not it's not optional. The public has to have confidence in the sheriff's department, period. And that's why these stories are so significant.
Yeah, no, our ability to do the job at all depends completely on public trust. And we have to win that back where we've lost it. And, you know, I look at clarifying our policy on honesty, moving forward the way we have. Like you mentioned, the vast majority of people who work in this profession do it for the right reasons and go out there and do the best job they can every day. And like anything, it only takes a few to tarnish it.
And the process is very difficult. The LA Times tells a story specifically about Daniel Geneo. And here's one of the details. In the last year, the commission reinstated Geneo, as well as a deputy who lied about whether he had tried to take a photo of a woman up a woman's skirt, and another deputy found to have falsely asserted that he had not witnessed a colleague beat up a jail inmate. And the thing is that I understand that we have civil service protection, and you don't want people fired for malicious reasons or some kind of vendetta within the system. But on the other hand, it shouldn't take this kind of crazy process in order to terminate somebody who has proven themselves not to be up to the snuff ethically.
Yeah, you know, I respect the role of the Civil Service Commission to review our findings to make sure that they were well-founded, the evidence was there to support the finding. I guess what is troubling is when they do support it, but they disagree with the penalty, they'll, instead of a termination case, they'll say, okay, put them back to work with 30-day suspension. I still then have somebody coming back in the workplace that has, you know, it's been validated that they have either been untruthful or that their offense was so egregious that we can't put them back out in the field to be able to do the job that the public expects them to do. That's a tough place to be.
It really is. And, you know, it's lying is a corrosive force. Once you go down that road, then you start lying to cover up the earlier lies, and the next thing you know, the whole house of cards comes down. And that's a real tough culture to turn around.
You know, every business has a product. Our product is credibility, and that's the foundation for what we do.
You know, I feel on a much, it's much less significant. But the business that I'm in this racket, I think the public will accept and understand mistakes, but they shouldn't ever accept a lie. If I lie to the audience, then they shouldn't listen to the show. If I make a mistake, okay, we all make mistakes, especially when you're covering things and events are breaking in real time and you're formulating opinions on the fly and you may get more information and change your mind down the road. That's one thing. But to actually deliberately mislead people is a whole other animal. And when it's law enforcement, it's so much more compounded because of the authority that law enforcement have. I mean, law enforcement is given the legal right to take our lives under the right circumstances, under certain circumstances. So it's a profound authority that's given to sheriff's deputies, and that's why the standard has to be the highest possible standard.
No, I agree. I think the public understands, or to some degree anyway, the complexity and how fast-moving many aspects of this job are, and you know that we will make mistakes as we move forward, and hopefully with the best of intentions, find them and you know, own them and fix them. But the baseline has to be credibility, that we're going to do it with an honest heart, trying to do the right thing and be truthful about what we do.
We're talking with the sheriff of Los Angeles County, Jim McDonald, who you can follow on Twitter, by the way, at L.A. County, L-A-C-O Sheriff. L-A-C-O Sheriff is the Twitter handle. Sheriff, you've been on the job for a while now. What has been a pleasant surprise, and what has been revealed to you as a bigger problem than even you thought it would be?
You know, I think the most pleasant surprise has been the people I get to work with every day, and the quality of the people, the degree of specialization we have within the organization, coming from police departments, where we do the mission every day of crime prevention, crime suppression, counterterrorism, and community relations. We do that in the Sheriff's Department for 42 contract cities, 130 unincorporated areas. But then on top of that, the largest jail system in America, the largest community college system, the largest court system, search and rescue, the MTA, and you could go on and on with the number of different specialized types of policing that we do. And we have people in each of those specialties that are truly experts in what they do. That has been a tremendously positive surprise to see just how good a job we do every day in that regard. We always tend to focus on the exceptions, and it's a business where everything we do affects someone else's life. So we all understand that, and as I mentioned, try and learn from any mistakes we do make and be as good as we can the next time we go out. I'd say the biggest challenge is in the custody environment, trying to replace Men's Central Jail with the correctional treatment facility. The Board of Supervisors has been supportive of that moving forward, but just the amount of time, energy, and effort it's going to take moving forward and cost to the public to be able to stand this up. We're looking probably at best-case scenario 8 years down the road before we can do that. Men's Central Jail is not a place that we should keep for a day longer than we have to, so the quicker we can get moving on that, the better for everyone.
You know, we also know that you've, in addition to all of the issues that resulted in your election, and the resignation of Lee Baca, who's now been indicted, the other issue is, of course, with Prop 47 and AB 109, a lot of prisoners from the state system are now in county, and this is you know, we know what floats downstream, and now it's on your lap.
Yeah, county jail was designed to hold people for up to a year who are sentenced or are pending their trial for those who haven't been sentenced yet. And what we now have is a situation where we have a completely different population. We have one person who's been sentenced to 42 years on the extreme, but many who've been sentenced to 20, 5, 10, 15, 20 years in a jail facility that's not meant to house people long term. So that's a very challenging environment. And as you know, we have all of the challenges you could face anywhere in America. We have right here in L.A. County with the gang culture and all of the other issues that we deal with.
All right. Sheriff McDonald, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us. We always appreciate your time, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Doug, very much.
Okay, L.A. County Sheriff Jim McDonald.
You're listening to Spotlight on the Community with Terry Ray Elmer on 95.5 KLOS. Earlier this week on McIntyre in the Morning with Terry Ray Elmer, we spoke to the California State Senator John Morlock.
So the California legislature, the state senate, just passed a bill that raises the age for tobacco smoke and vaping, I think, until the age of 21. And we talked with a spokesperson for the American Cancer Society, who's very much in favor of doing this. I'm not in favor of it, even though I'm not making an argument in any way, shape, or form that smoking isn't horrible, and that all of the people talking about the health benefits of delaying people smoking aren't right. But there's a lot of things in life that aren't necessarily good for us, that taking away the freedom of choice for people who have the legal right to sign a contract seems to me to be inherently discriminatory. To talk to us about this is the Orange County, former Orange County supervisor and a state senator, John Morlock. John, how are you?
Good, Doug. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to talk to you again. Thanks for coming on.
Likewise. It's been a while.
So you were opposed to this, I'm happy to report, but it passed anyway, of course, and undoubtedly will be signed into law by the governor.
Yeah, I don't smoke. My wife is allergic to cigarette smoke, but I don't know how you go back, how you tell 20-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 18-year-olds now that they're not old enough to smoke when they're old enough to vote and they're old enough to volunteer for the military. And so I just found that aspect of the bill just untenable, maybe be it based on my libertarian streak. I think you put it pretty succinctly. I mean, in this country, we have freedom, and we have the freedom to do great things, and we have the freedom to do not so great things. So I'm not going to tell you that smoking is the right thing to do, but I'm not going to tell you that you're not allowed to do that. So I just had real trouble with the bill. I understand the Cancer Society. I understand individuals that want to do safety for all. But I'm just not there.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, the argument that, you know, the safety for all crowd, which we seem to lead the league in California, it's arbitrary. It's just it's interesting. They just, it's sort of this secular moralism where they'll make these moral judgments against certain products and certain commodities that they consider evil. Like, for instance, oil is evil. It's just inherently evil. It's a commodity that exists naturally in the ground, but it's bad. And yet, you know, marijuana is good. So it's absurd. I mean, you know, I've done this joke many times, but this is the only place in the world where a pot is legal, but the plastic bag it comes in isn't.
Yeah, the contradictions and the ironies in this state, the list is rather lengthy. Assemblyman Mark Stone, his bill said that if you have anyone in your business that you own that comes to your business, you can't smoke there. So you can have a home, and if it's your home, you can smoke at your home. But if you have a business there and a client comes by, then you're not allowed to smoke at your home. And I thought that was rather absurd as well. And I find it funny that so many are trying to, you know, figure out what we can't and can't do in the home bedroom, but now they're coming into the home office.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the argument is made is that smoke doesn't stay in the home. It gets into the air ducts and all that. And I get that. Listen, this is an issue, by the way, that at least anecdotally, my experience has been cuts across party line. There's no ideology on this. I've talked to many, many diehard conservatives who just they can't stand cigarette smoke either. And they just don't like it. They just don't want it around them. And I can understand that. I mean, I do understand that. But again, it's to me, I think that this is challengeable in a court of law. If you can on the same grounds, for instance, that the Supreme Court ruled on gay marriage. I don't know how you can tell somebody under American law who is legally able to sign a binding contract at the age of 18, as you mentioned, serve in the United States military, et cetera, it can't buy a legal product. I mean, it's all same with alcohol, too. And I know a lot of places raise the drinking age to 21 there as well. And again, the data is all on the side. Obviously, it's much better for people, very few people decide to take up smoking when they're 40. So if you can keep them from smoking younger, they have a much better chance of avoiding it down the line. But this argument somehow that society bears the cost, well, we can say that about a lot of things. We can say that society bears the cost on all kinds of issues. How about kids? People who have children that they can't support. So should we start sterilizing people?
Well, you're making the argument of how these things start to happen in slow steps. We have it in the Senate, too, with now the public health special session closing. Now assisted suicide kicks in. Well, you know, dealing with incurables comes from 1933 in Nazi Germany, and it sort of had a progression that was tragic. So, yeah, I think you can make that argument.
All right. Listen, John, thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it. John Morlock, who, of course, is California State Senator. And represented the 37th District in South Orange County.
This has been Spotlight on the Community with Terry Ray Elmer on 95.5 KLOS.